guess I'm a little bit of the odd man out because I don't really have fire in my particular talk here, but what I really wanted to look at is what's driving this is these huge fire complexes and things that we've seen over the last decade or so. And the priority of the national forest systems right now is really in fuels reductions. And two of the actions that are really driving that are the National Fire Plan and the Healthy Forest Restoration Act, which really looks at fuels reductions through the national forest systems. But what's really driving a lot of this is that urban wildland interface, and recently during the congressional hearings, we had that 8.4 million homes since 1990 have gone into the urban wildland interface. And another thing I think is really telling is since 1990, the percent of the Forest Service budget has gone from 16% in wildland fire suppression up to almost 50%. And I guess if that trend keeps going, our acronym will still be NFS, but it'll be National Fire Service instead of National Forest Service. But what I really wanted to look at was, are we altering the microbial communities with these fuels reduction programs? So I decided I was going to look at total carbon, nitrogen, and phosphorus, and thin stands, and these particular stands that I'm looking at have been thinned and maintained over a 40-year period, but I also wanted to look at the microbial community structure in these thin stands. Luckily, I have the luxury of looking at, it was originally a graduated stocking levels that looking at ponderosa pine growth, but these sites have been maintained since the early 60s. There's one in northern Arizona, Tedder Woods, and a plantation in the West Slope of Sierras at Elliott Ranch, one up at the Pringle Falls Experimental Station at Lookout Mountain, and Eastern Oregon in the Blue Mountains. Now these studies were actually looking at different stocking levels. They looked at basal areas going from 30, 60, 90, 120, and 150, except for the Elliott Ranch one, which were 40, 70, 100, and 130, and 150. I only looked at the 30, 60, and 120, basically just for logistic reasons and funding reasons. And the differences you can see across here are sort of a productivity gradient from the Elliott Ranch in the Sierras to the Central Oregon, Lookout Mountain, Tedder Woods, and then Eastern Oregon and Blue Mountains. Now, the site indexes were what were originally designated, and if you actually look in the literature, those have probably all changed somewhat. But you can see the precipitation gradient and a temperature gradient. Each one of these has a little bit of different mix between precipitation and temperature interactions there. And that's going to become very important as I go on here. Now, these sites, each one of them have the treatments of 30, 60, or I looked at 30, 60, and 120, in which the basal area was kept that, the plots are very small at about a quarter acre to half acre. On each one of those, I ran transects, three transects across them with three subsamples in each transect, and those were composited and analyzed for the total carbon, total nitrogen, and then the microbial communities. Again, all these had a little different initiation. The Elliott Ranch one in California, as you see here, was actually a plantation that was started in the 1950s. Had been in each one of these sites also, every 5 years they're measured for the basal area, and in every 10 years those basal areas are thinned back to maintain that particular basal area and stocking on those particular sites. I looked at the microbial community in two ways. One was the community level physiological profile, which are basically biolog plates. There's an error that on the eco plates, which look at bacteria, which is inoculation on these carbon substrates, really 31 carbon substrates. When you inoculate them, the amount of oxidation of that particular substrate is indicated by a dye on that, and then we can read those on particular a reader. And then on the for a fungal, we use the SFM plates, which has 95 carbon substrates, and then we look at the turbidity on those particular things, and we eliminate the bacterial growth with antibiotics during the inoculation of those. One of the advantages of doing biolog for community level stuff is that it's very expensive and it's relatively easy to use, but it is a culture technique, and so again, you only get a small portion of that population that you can actually culture on those carbon substrates. I only use this technique on the dry period. I actually sampled in a dry period and a wet period for each one of those sites. And the second technique that I used was phospholipid fatty acids. And this is really what the emphasis of most of it was the nice thing about phospholipid fatty acids is that it only measures those components that are active in the soil at the time, because as the organisms die, those fatty acids are quickly degraded, so you just get those that are active, and they're not part of the storage products. And they allow us to really look at, by using these biomarkers, to look at the community as a whole in these multivariate techniques. So when I group the basal area groupings, what you see is we really don't see much of a difference based on thinning, other than total mass in that litter layer, which is unexpected. And the same in the soil, we don't see major differences in these soil layers, also based on just thinning. And of course, this is thinning grouped across all those four sites. But when we look at site index, we do get a specific difference, and again, it's not what you would not expect, and that is that the litter layer, the mass on those two higher productivity sites are much higher than the two drier sites. And in this particular case, I put percentages for the organic horizon, basically because I wanted to look at more at the site quality. And what you see is there's really very little difference in site quality, or very little difference in substrate across those site indexes. And because we really haven't changed the type of litter input, there's still ponderosa pine stands, and we're all relatively now in the soils. We do see a real difference because, again, what we see here is that the two higher productivity sites are higher not only in carbon and nitrogen and phosphorus, but there is a slight difference in CNN ratios, but I'm not sure that that's really ecologically valuable in this particular case. Looking at these community level profiles, again, you see that same pattern where basal area doesn't seem to make an effect on these microbial communities, but site index does. And in each one of them, both in the bacteria and the fungal, in both the O-horizon and the 0 to 5 centimeter horizon, we got significant differences. But the A values in these particular cases are not, and that's the within group likeness values. This analysis was done MRPP. The within group associations were not rural strong. Now, switching to the PLFA, what we do see is that a big difference between the wet and dry season, and all of them were significantly different. The pattern that surprises me is that in the lower productivity sites in the dry period, you almost see this very good trend of actually lower amounts of total phospholipid fatty acids in the drier sites or the less productivity sites as we go, but as you get into the wet period, it changes. And this is looking at these phospholipid by taking the biomarkers for those individual groups and looking at these both for the O horizon and the 0 to 5 horizon. And this is in the O horizon. What you really see is the fungal dominated communities and huge increases in the wet periods. But again, interesting is that the lower productivity sites really have some of the highest microbial biomass in those particular groupings. Now in the soil, we see something different. The total PLFA, and these are actually on square root because that's why the analysis for variability reasons was used, that we get differences again between the wet and dry period except for the Taylor Woods, which is the Northern Arizona one, which is a 62 site index. But we do get increases in that, but it's not as dramatic as we see in that litter layer. Now again, these are the groupings, very much dampened compared to the O horizon, but still significant differences. And I didn't list those off, but those are significant differences in all the different groups, except for, again, the Taylor Woods 62 in both the actinomycetes and the bacteria, the gram-positive bacteria. Now, looking at this as a community with a MRPP analysis, again, we see that same trend where, and these are relativized across, so it's only those, like, percentage of each of the biomarker within the total community normalized across that. And what we see is that, again, basilary, the thinning itself, had little effect on the total total community, but yet site index has a very strong significance between those particular sites. And you can see on both, or see on this, that the A value, which is the within group association, is much, much stronger in that organic horizon than it is in the soil horizon. Now, another way to look at some of this is to look at fungal to bacterial ratios. And again, this is based on the PLFA. And you'll see that, again, basal area itself, the thinning treatment itself, had very, very little effect on the microbial community as we thinned. Yet, each one of the sites differed in how those fungal to bacterial ratios went between the wet and the dry period. And one thing that I'm still not sure exactly how to explain, but what you see in that O horizon is we actually have a pretty large decrease in the fungal to bacterial ratio during the wet periods, where in the drier sites we actually see something sort of the opposite. Now in the soils we don't get as dramatic a change between the wet and dry season, but again you do see some of that, and it's different between the O horizon and the 0 to 5 centimeter horizon in these particular cases. And one of my things on this is that I really believe it's that temperature-moisture interaction that's happening in those and how they attack the substrates that is really determining what those particular communities are. So in conclusion, what I really looked at was from a thinning standpoint and from what the Forest Service is doing as far as fuels reduction, we see very, very little that is affecting that microbial community as a whole. But yet, we need to look at those particular things on a regional basis, and it can't be done by looking at ponderosa pine systems across the whole system. And I think what it really goes back to, again, is that we really don't have a good understanding of the temperature-moisture interactions and how they affect those microbial communities that we see. And with that, I'd like to conclude my talk, and I'd like to give thanks to the Joint Fire Sciences Program for partially funding this project, and the Rocky Mountain Research Station, who actually maintains the Taylor Woods sites, and then the Pacific Southwest Station out of Redding that actually maintains the Elliott Ranch, Lookout Mountain, and the Long Creek sites. Thank you. Yeah, and later, and what I actually did was that was the initial publication when the study was started. That was based on Myers, the site index that was particularly there. If you look at some of the later publications, I think that 140 probably dropped down to about 115. I think Bob Powers did some work on that.
Well, it's apples and oranges. Your first presentation is on a 100-year base.
Right.
The 115 is on a 50-year
base.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The pools of nitrogen that you showed were very similar, like only 1,500 kilograms per hectare, and you got that huge production.
I know, and
what's going on there other than nitrogen? I guess.
And I don't have a way to explain that one. So each one of these plots are about a quarter to a half acre. So I randomly selected three transects to go completely across those plots, and then within that I subsampled three particular sites within each transect. So there's 9 total subsamples on each plot. And I didn't add that the The basal area on each one of that is replicated three times within each one of these sites. So there's, if the basal area is 30, then there was 30 plots within that stand. So a total of 9 reps across that whole thing, subsampled anyway. And but for the microbial PLFA and the biolog, I actually composited those samples basically just for logistic reasons. And I sampled those. The litter itself was sampled in a 0.01 meter squared plot frame, and then I used the soil core to get the 0 to 5 centimeter right below that particular litter layer when I sampled. And then of that, again, we mixed the samples really well and then took a subsample of that both for the PLFA and for the biolog samples. Yes?
Right,
that's correct.
If you could just list them as
LA,
whatever location.
Yeah, it would, that probably wouldn't matter. Yeah, and it really is, and I think that what's really more important on those is really the climatic features of those particular sites, the effective soil moisture and the temperature on those particularly give you a different structured community through that. And I'm not saying that we have different organisms, that could be, but they're structured different, especially when I sample. So basically we have a sort of a lack of understanding of really how that community dynamics moves through the growing season.